you can be a child of God, why do you want to go back? If we're free from our chains, why are we picking up the chains and putting them back on ourselves? What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Isaiah 6 podcast. My name is Ava, if you're new, and it's been a few weeks since I've done an episode. I've honestly been really busy because I just graduated high school, and so I've had so many sweet grad parties and celebrations over these last few weeks. Because of that, I haven't really had that much time to sit down with God and pray through what this third episode needs to be. This entire podcast is just meant to encourage you in your walk with Jesus by sharing what he's been teaching me, and in that process and in using this platform to glorify God, I have to wait on him because I can only do this through his strength. I have to wait on his word and his instruction to me, and since I've had so much going on and since I want to handle this platform responsibly and not just take things into my own hands to come up with an episode that would ultimately just be my own words instead of God's, I had to wait, just find time to sit down, and eventually one day I was driving around talking to Jesus, and he told me to share the biggest lesson that he taught me in high school. And my high school experience has been a roller coaster in terms of my relationship with the Lord. The depths and details of my testimony is something that I'd love to get into on this podcast eventually, but to give y'all a very shortened version, I grew up in the church and had a very deep understanding of the gospel at a super young age. I accepted Christ and I was baptized in the first grade. But obviously, there's been lots of ups and downs since then. I struggled with deep insecurity, mental health, friendships, and curiosity around certain things that eventually led to me going down a pretty scary and sin-filled path that had the potential to be a lot worse than it was. But by the grace of God, I was called out of those things. And when I felt so insecure about the way that I looked, he told me he loves me and I'm made in his image, so I don't need to obsess over trying to look a certain way. When I struggled with mental health and anxiety, he said, "Come to me and I will give you rest." When I struggled with friendships, he gave me the exact people and God-glorifying friendships at a time which I so desperately needed them. But most of all, when I believed the lie that I was too far gone for his love, he told me he still had me in the palm of his hand and he just wanted me to come back to him. That I don't need to clean myself up before going to God, but if I came to him in my sin, he would make me new. But to understand any of the lessons that I just listed out, I first had to grasp the most important, pivotal thing for me in my walk with Christ. That there's no gray area in my relationship with Jesus. I believe that understanding that truth, being able to apply it, especially in a high school, is crucial. But what do I mean by that? The passage of scripture that I studied and that really changed everything for me while I was wrestling with this idea is Galatians 4 through 9. So I'll read that for us now. It says, "In the same way also, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. But now that you have come to know God, or rather be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world whose slaves you want to be once more?" Now let's break this down. Paul is speaking here, writing to the church of Galatia, and he sets up two different identities which we could have. We can either be a slave, or we can be a child of God. Verse 3 says, "When we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of this world." What are these principles? Galatians 3:23 says, "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed." This thing that Paul says we are a slave to is the law. In the Old Covenant, before Jesus, Jews had these set laws that they had to obtain. But obviously, out of sin nature, no one could do that perfectly. so they would have to make sacrifices and do things to earn forgiveness for when they break the law. I had a leader once explain it to me this way. Imagine you break the law in some way. You go to the temple, you do your sacrifice, and you're good. Then as you're leaving the temple, something else happens. Maybe someone walks by and you have a lustful thought. There you go. You have to go back in there, sacrifice again because you're no longer clean. Then as you're leaving, maybe you get frustrated and you act out in anger. You have to go and sacrifice again, and this cycle repeats, not quite so literally, but this idea that you're having to go back to the temple again and again, and you're a slave to what the law requires of you. You have absolutely no freedom because you're trying to do everything that you can to earn your salvation. So Paul is writing Galatians in a new covenant world where Jesus is the atonement for our sins. But the people of Galatia didn't understand that, and they're still trying to live under the old covenant as slaves to the law, attempting to earn their salvation through works. And sometimes we can do this too, when we try to live legalistically and add our own strength or will onto Jesus' sacrifice for our sins. But let's take this a step further and skip down to verse 8. It says, "Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's." This is Paul saying, not only can you be enslaved to the control which trying to live under the old covenant submits you to, right? But you can be a slave to anything that isn't God. This could be literally anything, an idol, an addiction, a sin cycle, any certain lifestyle that doesn't honor God, we become slave to those things. Jesus says in John 8:34, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Paul says in Romans, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness. If you live a sinful life, you are a slave to sin which leads to death. That's this idea that sin only leads to more sin. James 1:14 through 16 says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So when you're wrestling with temptation, don't be fooled by the idea that the enemy feeds you when you tell yourself just this once. One more time. It can't hurt anything. Because verse 15 says, when it's fully grown, meaning that first moment of sin is just the beginning. Don't be deceived by your own desires, because whatever those may be, they're going to just grow and grow, and you're going to continue to give in and give in, and eventually that will lead to death. It will lead to chains and bondage and a deep hole, which you'll feel like you can't escape. But we don't have to live that way. By the grace of God, we can choose something different. Jumping back up to verse 4 says, when time came, God sent Jesus, his son, verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoptions as sons. So we're slaves to our sin, but we can be adopted as sons of God. And instead of crying out for the sin that once controlled us, our souls cry out to God, saying, Abba, Father. We are set free from our chains, and we can walk out in freedom that can only be found in Jesus. Verse 7 says, so you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Romans 6:6 says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. If we're redeemed through Christ, he picks us up out of our sin. He breaks our chains. He fills our holes, and he gives us a new identity as a child of God. And I don't know about you, but I'd much rather be a child of God than be a slave to sin. But here's the thing. We have to make that choice. Verse 9 says, but now that you have come to know God, or rather be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world whose slaves you want to be once more? There's a question mark at the end of that sentence. Paul is saying, if you can be a child of God, why do you want to go back? If we're free from our chains, why are we picking up the chains and putting them back on ourselves? Christ Jesus frees us through his blood, but we have to choose to walk out in that freedom. So when we keep running back to that addiction, that toxic situation, that sin cycle, we're choosing to give up our freedom and give up our heritage as children of God. And that's what I mean by saying that there's no gray area, because Paul is telling us here that we can either be all in or all out. And y'all, I want to be all in. Luke 9:23 says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Pick up your cross daily. That doesn't mean pick it up Sunday morning and Wednesday night. That doesn't mean every day except Saturday night. That doesn't mean only when you feel like it. It means at all times offering up your life as a living sacrifice. But by no means am I saying that this is easy, and neither did Jesus. Because personally, I've lived in these sin cycles. I've lived in moments where I struggled deeply in my relationship with God. And Jesus was tempted in every way, yet without sin. That's Matthew 4. So when he redeems us by his blood, we are set free from sin and the power that sin once had over us. So we don't have to give into that temptation. We don't have to go back to that lifestyle. And maybe you're in a position where you feel like you're too far gone. But guess what? That is a lie from the enemy. Paul talks about this in 1 Timothy 1:13 when he says, "Formerly, I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." New King James Version says, "for whom I am chief." Paul claims to have been the chief of sinners, yet the grace of the Lord overflowed for him. And it will for you too. So listen to me closely when I say that wherever you are, he loves you. As a child of God, he loves you. And if you're currently living as a slave to your sin, he loves you. And he's calling you to freedom in him now. Matthew 11:28, it's one of my favorite verses, says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." John 6:37 says, "Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." So wherever you are on your journey, I can't urge you enough. Step out in faith and obedience, put down your chains, and walk out in the freedom that Jesus gives us, because he will not turn you away. And that's my prayer for you today, because Jesus loves you and I love you. And I'll see y'all next time on the Isaiah 6 podcast. Bye, y'all.